Have you ever become impatient? I suspect that the answer is yes. But how about this? Have you ever become impatient with God? Impatience with God's timing usually leads to disobeying God. Disobedience without genuine repentance leads to more disobedience. This was the course of life that King Saul followed. He never recovered from it. Welcome back to the Wisdom Journey. Today, Stephen Davey has a lesson for you called The Fall of King Saul.
You might remember that King Saul began his reign with humility and modesty and trust. God gave him a great military victory. The trouble is, Saul is going to become arrogant and defiant. And as a result, today, we're going to watch the fall of King Saul. Now, chapter 13 introduces us to Saul's son, Jonathan. And let me tell you, Jonathan he's nothing like his father. In fact, we read here in verse 3, Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba. Now, in response, verse 5 tells us the Philistines gathered this massive army to fight Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops or soldiers. That's kind of a long way of telling us the Israelites are vastly outnumbered. They have inferior weapons as well. Verses 19 to 22 here explain so many of the Israelite soldiers fear for their lives. And what do? They go into hiding. They desert the army. So Saul is here at Gilgal with his, you know, dwindling army. He's waiting for Samuel to arrive. Saul has been told, by the way, to wait for 7 days. And then only after Samuel offers sacrifices and blessings is Saul to go into battle. And that's all in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. Well, 7 days is a long time to wait. I don't like to wait 7 minutes. 7 days. You see, Saul is being tested here by the Lord. Someone once said that a test doesn't make you. It exposes you. It reveals who you are. Well, Saul is not going to wait on God's timing. So he offers sacrifices himself in defiance of divine instruction through the prophet Samuel. And as soon as Saul finishes offering these sacrifices, guess who shows up? Samuel. And he asks Saul a very simple question here in verse 11. What have you done? Saul responds in verse 12, I said to myself, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord, so I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. I forced myself. Oh, brother. In other words, I knew it was wrong, but I just couldn't help it. Well, Samuel doesn't buy it, and we don't either. And he delivers this rather stunning rebuke to him in verse 13. You have done foolishly. He adds, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. And with that, Samuel walks away. Saul prepares for battle against the Philistines. Here in chapter 14, now what we're going to be shown is the distinction, the differences between Jonathan and his father Saul. And for one thing, Saul is afraid to go into battle. But Jonathan isn't. He steps out in courageous faith. He only has his armor bearer, we're told here. He attacks an entire Philistine garrison, that's some 20 soldiers, and he defeats them. As a result, God throws the entire Philistine army into a panic, and they begin to flee. Here's a principle that I want to point out that's true to this very day. There's no telling what God will do when someone steps out in courageous faith. Saul is unwilling to move forward. Jonathan moves out, trusting God. And let me tell you, even God will not steer a parked car. He's looking for people who will put it into drive, take that step of faith, and move out. Now, with the Philistines on the run, Saul and his soldiers chase after them and with his army and in full pursuit of the Philistines, Saul now gives a ridiculous command here in verse 24. He laid an oath on the people saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening, and I am avenged on my enemies." Here you've got the Philistines on the run. The Israelites are going to spend the entire day chasing them down. And now Saul forbids anybody to have anything to eat until that evening. What's he doing here? I'll tell you, he's attempting to look spiritual. He orders this fast, verse 24. Then here in verse 35, he builds an altar. He, verse 39, makes a vow. He even attempts to consult the Lord, verse 41. It's all hypocrisy. And is God impressed? Not on your life. God isn't impressed, and he still isn't to this day, of people making a show of looking spiritual. In fact, the man here who is impressing God is Jonathan. Even though he breaks his father's oath when he comes across a beehive, we're told here in verse 27, Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with this oath. So he put out the tip of his staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes became bright. Only then is he told of his father's foolish command. Well, that evening, Saul determines that someone has violated his command, and when Jonathan is revealed to be that person, Saul says to him here in verse 44, "You shall surely die." I mean, how foolish, how utterly thick-headed can you be? Now, fortunately, some people here intervene and save Jonathan's life. But in the process, let me tell you, Saul loses a lot of credibility before the nation. And from this point on, Saul digresses even faster into a paranoid, foolish, suspicious, angry, jealous man. Now, the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, takes place over here in chapter 15 now, where God issues a command to Saul to carry out his judgment by utterly destroying the king and the nation of the Amalekites here in verse 3. Now, the Amalekites, they were an extremely wicked people. They had ruthlessly attacked Israel in the past. In fact, God had already told Moses years earlier in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14, "I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Well, that day has finally arrived. Saul is not to take any possessions belonging to the Amalekites. He's to put to death every member of this evil tribe as an act of divine judgment. So what does Saul do here? He defeats the Amalekites, but then verse 9 tells us, "But Saul and the people spared Agag the king and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fattened calves, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them." When they return home, Saul meets up with Samuel, and Saul says to Samuel here in verse 13, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Well, that's just a big fat lie. That's saying something with your lips that you've not done in your life. And Samuel's response essentially is, "Oh, really?" He says here, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" Now get this, Saul is admitting to only partial obedience, but now he places the blame on the people, verse 20. "Well, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've brought Agag the king alive, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, to sacrifice to the Lord." In other words, why kill the king? Why not let the people keep these animals? I'm sure they're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. I mean, come on, Samuel, lighten up. What's the big deal? Well, Samuel tells him what the big deal is, verse 22. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. In other words, making sacrifices to God while disobeying God is false worship. Disobedience, then, is as wicked as idolatry. Now, with that, Samuel delivers the verdict here in verse 23. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Well, the chapter ends on a sad note here in verse 35, as Samuel leaves Saul and grieves over him. Although Saul will continue as king, you know, for a little while, his demise, his fall is now established. Beloved, it strikes me that the very same things that brought about his fall will bring failure in your life and mine. Lip service instead of genuine service. Partial obedience instead of total obedience. And along the way, an unwillingness to obey the word of the Lord. Well, with that, we're out of time for today. Beloved, until our next session together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson called The Fall of King Saul, here on The Wisdom Journey. Stephen's going to continue through 1 Samuel and all of God's Word in the days ahead. During the month of June, we have a free resource for dads. Stephen has a message called The Enoch Example. It reminds dads of the importance of a godly legacy and provides advice for doing it. Visit wisdomonline.org to get your free copy. And join us next time on The Wisdom Journey.